Welcome to The Word at First Press Church of Arlington Heights. The sermon is based on Scripture to help us see how God was at work in the lives of the faithful in their time and how God is at work now in our lives on our journey of faith. I invite you to listen for how God's Word might be speaking to you today.
Our first Scripture reading is from the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Verses 12 through 14, 16 through 17, and 20 through 21. Hear these words. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with his testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let everyone who hears say, come, and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, beginning with the 20th. Verse in the 17th chapter. Let us continue listening for God's voice speaking to us. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There can be something beautiful and mysterious about listening in on someone else's prayer. There's a reverence in overhearing the heart's deepest longing poured out before God. And today, in John 17, we are invited to do just that. For the past two Sundays, we've been in the upper room with Jesus and the disciples, listening to his last words in the Gospel of John. Words that include instruction, yes, but more deeply, words that speak to relationship. First, the commandment to love one another as he has loved us. Then, the gift of peace, not as the world gives, but peace that takes root even when the path ahead is uncertain. Today, that long farewell teaching turns into prayer. Let's take a moment to picture what is happening. Jesus and the disciples have been in the upper room together for a while now. He has washed their feet, demonstrating servanthood. Judas, who would betray him later that evening, has departed. Jesus has been speaking to his disciples, fully aware of the events about to unfold, even though they do not yet understand. Now, he lifts his eyes toward heaven and begins speaking directly to God, not privately, but aloud, so they can hear him. But this time, he's not teaching. He's praying, a prayer that continues for the entire chapter, sometimes called the high priestly prayer. And within his prayer is a line that reaches directly to us. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. That means this prayer was never just for Peter or Mary or James. It is for everyone who comes after, everyone still finding their way, everyone who's ever wondered if there's space in the story for them. That means Jesus' prayer is for us. And that makes it one of the most personal moments in Scripture. Knowing the cross is close, Jesus prays not just for himself, but for all who will come after. He's praying for the generations to come. He's praying for the church, not as a place with buildings and a budget, but as a community held together by his love. Theologians call this a prayer of intercession. But you don't need that word to understand what's happening here. Jesus is lifting up the ones he loves into the heart of God. His is a prayer of deep trust in the love that has already held them, that will not let them go, even if they scatter, even if they fail, even if they forget. And what he asks for next is what will hold them together when everything else falls apart. He prays that they, that we, would be one. That we would find a sense of belonging, not in sameness, but in love. That we would live in such a way that the world might come to know the wideness of God's welcome. This unity is at the heart of Jesus' prayer for a life bound together not by shared answers or full agreement, but by shared love. It's a unity that calls us to stay connected, even when we don't see things the same way. A unity that proclaims we do not have to agree on everything to walk in the same direction. This moment is less like a teacher giving final instructions and more like a parent watching the door close behind someone they love. He can't walk with them into what comes next, but he can trust the connection won't be broken. Just because Jesus is praying for this kind of unity doesn't mean he thought it would be easy. We don't have to look too far to see how difficult it can be. There's so much that divides, so many reasons to hold each other at a distance, and yet Jesus places this prayer in the middle of our very human struggle and says, "You are already part of something I have prayed into being." Part of the great beauty of Jesus' prayer is that it doesn't begin with us and it doesn't depend on us. The connection we long for has already been entrusted to God's care. The love that binds us has already been placed in God's hands by Christ in prayer. And that prayer is still holding. I imagine that many of us, at some point, have felt maybe unsure how to pray, or have worried whether we're doing it right. But here's what we need to understand. Every time we open our mouths in prayer, whether it's joyful, desperate, angry, or uncertain, we are entering into a conversation that began long before us. Jesus is already speaking on our behalf. That's what it means to say we are held in prayer. It means the relationship doesn't start with us. We don't have to create belonging from scratch. We are already part of a love that is holding us still. This is what Julian of Norwich, England, came to believe with all her heart. She lived through the 14th century plague, a time of extraordinary suffering and fear, as wave after wave of death and chaos swept through her city. She withdrew to a small cell attached to a church, where she dedicated her life to prayer, reflection, and writing. What she witnessed could have led her to despair, but through her visions and deep contemplation, she came to know God not as a distant judge, but as a constant presence, steadfast, tender, unshakable. In a world that felt like it was unraveling, she wrote these words, which are also on our bulletin cover. God is the still point at the center, holding us in love and prayer, now and always. Julian's writing reflects the spirit of Jesus' high priestly prayer, his prayer of unbroken and unending love for us. This is the prayer that holds us, that holds our congregation and the wider community, that nurtures our relationships in all their beauty and imperfection, that surrounds those who gather in sanctuary and those who walk in parades, and that embraces the stories we carry, the fears we name, and the dreams we dare to hope. And it invites us to become something more together than we could ever be alone. This morning, some of our mission committee and other church members, including youth and adults, and Pastor Rebecca, right at this very moment, are participating in the Buffalo Grove Pride Parade. This has become an annual tradition for us, a way to walk alongside neighbors. It's one visible way we try to live the welcome we speak about in worship. And hopefully, it's not the only one. There's an old story about a visitor who walked into a small congregation one Sunday morning. He didn't look like anyone else in the room. He didn't dress the same way, and he sat alone in the back pew. But after worship, nearly every member came up and greeted him, offered him a handshake and a cookie from the hospitality table. As he left, he said to the pastor, "I don't know what you preached about, but whatever it was, they already believe it." Wouldn't it be something if people said that about us? Wouldn't it be something if people saw in our actions the living echo of Jesus' prayer? And that kind of welcome takes all of us. This morning, our church nominating committee is hosting fellowship time and has small flyers about what it means to serve as a deacon, elder, and trustee. And they're inviting all of us to consider where we might be called to serve. It doesn't have to be through an elected role, but it might be. Or it might be in the quiet act of noticing someone new, showing up for someone who's struggling, or lending your gifts to help broaden our welcome. A welcome that takes many forms, responding to the need for ushers or reception hosts, helping to plan one of our community events, working with the landscape team, walking with someone in need through Stephen Ministry, or simply making sure someone feels at home in our space. As Pastor Barbara and I walk with you through one more summer, our hope is to help nurture the kind of community that's ready, ready to embrace one another, ready to welcome the next pastor, ready to live out the prayer of Jesus in every ordinary and extraordinary way we can. So today, whether you're sitting in the pews, worshiping online, whether you're walking in today's Pride Parade or praying from home, whether you feel certain or unsure, hopeful or hesitant, you are included in Jesus' prayer in the upper room. You are part of the story he carried in his heart. You are held by that very prayer, still at work, reaching across time, anchoring us in grace, and lifting us into the heart of God. In the name of our Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening. To learn more about the ministries and mission of First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, Illinois, please visit firstpresah.org, where you can get information about our services and programs, including times and directions, and communicate with us about a prayer request, any questions you have, or how you might like to get involved.